Dear friends, I am Mick Anderson, author of Corona 2 Inspect. On this occasion, at your request, I will try to give a brief overview of the subject of MAC addresses. For this we will address the following points: A. Explanation of the MAC phenomenon. B. The intracorporeal network of nanocommunications. C. Possible consequences, applications, and uses. A. Explanation of the MAC phenomenon. First of all, we will answer the question, what is a MAC? MAC stands for Media Access Control, which is a 48-bit code that identifies a device that connects to a network, e.g. local or internet. This code is divided into 6 blocks of 2 hexadecimal characters. The first 3, known as WI, correspond to the device manufacturer's identifier. The last 3 blocks, also known as NIC, are the serial number or identifier of the device itself. So, what is the MAC phenomenon? It is the phenomenon observed in people inoculated with COVID-19 vaccines, whereby they emit MAC addresses over a Bluetooth wireless network. These MAC addresses, unlike those of a normal device, are characterized by having no known manufacturer identifier. In other words, they are unknown. This can be checked in any of the manufacturer's MAC databases. In this way, it can be discerned that the MAC address does not correspond to any electronics manufacturer. How was it discovered? After the mass population vaccination program began, many people found that when they turned on their phone's Bluetooth, in order to pair another device, a long list of anonymous MAC addresses appeared, which did not seem to correspond to known devices. They were not printers, headsets, or other phones. They were simply dynamic or variable MAC addresses, whose broadcast period was also variable. This phenomenon alerted independent researchers around the world to try to analyze what was going on. Suspecting that the cause of the phenomenon was the vaccines, studies such as that of German Sarlange and his team were developed. Their work shows that anonymous MAC addresses are emitted by vaccinated people, as opposed to non-vaccinated people who had no wireless emission at all. This was tested under appropriate environmental conditions and with technical means of observing low-energy Bluetooth signals, also known as BLE. Anyone with an Android cell phone can experience this on their own. If you activate the Bluetooth function, and select the Pair New Device option, you will notice that a list of known and unknown devices, which are close to your range, will appear. It should also be noted that the latest Android updates, in some cases, are disabling this capability on your phone. To reverse this, you will need to enable the phone's developer options and check that the options related to Bluetooth are not disabled, specifically the unnamed MAC display option. On Apple phones, you can also check if applications such as BLE scanner are installed. A simple experiment that anyone can do is to find a stretch of road with little traffic and low speed, where there is no regular foot traffic in the area. Place yourself in a safe location where you can observe vehicle traffic in both directions of the road. Activate your Bluetooth and you will notice that the vaccinated persons in their vehicle will appear as they approach the point where they are and disappear as they move away. B. The intracorporeal wireless network of nanocommunications. If we assume that the MAC phenomenon is proven, and that vaccinated people emit these addresses, visible through the Bluetooth protocol, then it seems logical to think that vaccines are responsible for this effect. This is even more true when the first observations of the phenomenon occur just after the start of the vaccination plan for the population. In other words, there is a very clear and evident cause and effect relationship that cannot be ignored in any way. Therefore, the question must be asked. What is it in the vaccines that is responsible for the MAC emission phenomenon? The only thing that can be causing it is the presence of an intracorporeal network of nanocommunications, according to the scientific literature consulted. How can it be defined? An intracorporeal network of nanocommunications is a topology of micro or nanoscale devices, which is present inside the human body, and which maintains a bidirectional communication in an upward or downward direction. That is, outward from the body, to emit data, as well as inward, to receive instructions. The purpose of an intracorporeal network is very diverse, for example biomedical uses, which facilitate the control of physiological parameters, heart rate, blood pressure, glucose levels, respiratory rate, etc. And also neuromodulation, neurostimulation, interaction with the functioning of vital organs, measurement and interaction of neurotransmitters, alteration of brain electrical activity. It is rather complicated to infer which of these applications, if not all, are the ones that have been predefined for this intracorporeal network. We will talk about that in the last section of this exposition. Now, let us describe the topology of the intracorporeal network, i.e., the devices connected to the network. For this purpose, we will state from the device at the lowest level, to the most complex at the highest level. 1. Nanonodes. Nanonodes, also known as nanosensors, are nanometer-scale objects that would be very difficult to observe under an optical microscope, unless they form clusters. Their function is to propagate through the cardiovascular system of the human body, arteries, capillaries, and heart, in order to facilitate the propagation of wireless signals of the intracorporeal network. In order to carry out this main function, the nanonodes must number in the thousands, with the aim of being present at any point in the bloodstream. The question therefore arises as to what material present in the vaccines would be responsible for creating these nanonodes? The most likely hypothesis is that it would be through graphene oxide, whose decomposition would occur gradually, forming the well-known graphene quantum dots or GQDs. In this way, with a relatively small amount of graphene, it would be feasible to create thousands of graphene quantum dots, as a product of the decomposition of larger sheets, causing their dissemination throughout the body, until they reach a sufficiently small size to be unaffected by the immune system. On the other hand, graphene, as is already known, has superconducting properties, and when it is reduced to a nanometer scale, it also acquires quantum properties, which gives it the ability to propagate signals or pulses, as if it were an antenna. In fact, it has been demonstrated that graphene is capable of absorbing electromagnetic radiation and amplifying signals from gigahertz to terahertz, which makes it the ideal material to achieve the desired propagation in the intracorporeal network. 2. Micro or nanosensors. Sensors at both scales are described in the scientific literature as simple devices for monitoring physiological parameters, collecting electrical signals, metric and quantitative evaluations in the human body, but also as an interface for interaction with target organs. For example, micro/nanosensors can be made up of a lattice of graphene nanosheets and carbon nanotubes, or carbon fibers. These lattices adhere to the walls of the endothelium, the cardiac and arterial system, and even in brain tissue, due to their ability to overcome the blood-brain barrier. Once established, they generate electrical conduction paths, equivalent to the wires of a circuit, which, together with the superconducting capacity of the material, becomes a field effect transistor. This makes it possible to detect the electrical pulses of the organ with which it is in contact, for example, the heart, the brain, or the alveolar tissue in the lungs, but also to interact by emitting electrical discharges, since they can also act as supercapacitors, due to the piezoelectric properties they possess. In this sense, they would act as an interface, since, given a certain signal at the appropriate frequency, they could trigger these discharge operations. This applied to sensitive organs such as the heart, and even the respiratory system, could cause choking sensations, fainting, arrhythmias or heart attacks. In the case of brain tissue, the scientific literature is very profuse, and includes a multitude of experiments and tests with carbon nanotubes and graphene oxide nanosheets, to act as electrodes, capable of acting as bridges between neurons and stimulating their electrical activity, which makes it possible, de facto, to create artificial axons and influence the segregation of neurotransmitters. Presumably, this would make it possible to interfere with the proper functioning of a person's psyche, monitor the electrical conductivity of brain regions, alter behavior, thinking, conduct, and so on. 3. Micro or nano router. These are devices whose function is to collect and process the data obtained through the nanonodes and nanosensors, sending and propagating the information to the micro or nano interface, so that the data is transmitted from the inside to the outside of the body. It can also act in the opposite direction, that is, from outside to inside the body, for which it will receive the signal from the micro/nano interface, decoding and routing it, to retransmit it to the rest of the elements of the intracorporeal network. In many references consulted, these routers consist of microantennas or plasmonic nanoantennas, transmission circuits, encoding and decoding of signals, according to a MAC protocol, which determines the rules of construction of messages and antenna emissions. In addition, these micronanorouters are responsible for translating the lower-level signals produced by the micronanosensors and micronanodes, signals known as TSOK. TSOK signals are the most recognized in all scientific papers on intracorporeal networks, because they have a low energy emission cost. Also because of their simplicity, due to the fact that they are binary signals, which collect electrical pulses with value 1 and silences with value 0. In this way, the potential variations and pulses sensed by the micronanosensors and micronanonodes throughout the body can be transmitted in TSOK, so that they can be received by the micronanorouter. According to the scientific literature, the micro/nanorouter could be the key to the phenomenon of MAC broadcasts, since the data sent from inside to outside the human body is transmitted according to a medium access protocol, which determines headers, data packet structures, coding, frequency hopping map, encryption, and so on. Being able to detect MAC addresses means that the designers of the intracorporeal network most likely designed it to use Bluetooth Low Energy protocols, also known as BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy. However, being able to see and detect these MACs on the cell phone does not mean that they use exactly the same protocols. In fact, it is not possible to link or connect to the anonymous MAC devices. 4. Micro or nano interface. It is defined in the scientific literature as a hybrid device, responsible for capturing the signals emitted from the outside and transmitting them inward, or performing the reverse process outward to emit data. Its function is to pass through the skin barrier, which greatly reduces the effectiveness of the emissions, therefore it could be considered a repeater and signal amplifier. This device maintains communication with the micronanorouter, reproducing the transmission of data packets, according to the MAC protocol. The range of the micronanointerface emissions is limited, according to the literature consulted, specifically a few meters, due to the mitigation of the signal caused by the layers of the skin. However, a long transmission distance is not necessary either, considering that the recipient of the signals is the user's cell phone, also known as gateway, which will be responsible for transmitting the data packets to one or more recipients via the internet. 5. Gateway. As indicated above, the objective of the emissions from the micronanorouter and the micronanointerface is to reach the gateway, recognized in various publications, as the cell phone, tablet, or wearable device with internet connection. C. Possible consequences, applications, and uses. In this section, we will carry out an exercise of imagination to try to identify the possible uses and applications of the intracorporeal network. So I will list them in the following. 1. Neurosurveillance. The disposition of carbon nanotubes and graphene nanosheets in the neural tissue would facilitate the monitoring of brain activity. It should be noted that brain activity can be read from electrical signals from different areas of the brain. Therefore, these signals could be conducted through the intracorporeal network to generate a data flow that would be transmitted to the outside of the body and sent to remote servers for automatic interpretation using big data and machine learning techniques. In this way, it would be possible to have knowledge of people's moods, thoughts, behaviors, states, etc. 2. Neuromodulation. It involves the interaction in the human psyche through the electrical modulation of one or multiple zones of the brain tissue, according to preconceived patterns. This is possible if the carbon nanotubes and graphene nanosheets in the neural tissue receive the appropriate electrical pulses, which will create electromagnetic currents that will alter the normal functioning of the brain, developing the desired behavior, emotion, mood, and even thought. Possibly, this is where the concept of thought grafting can be associated. While this may be difficult to assume, it is true that there are extensive databases that locate by electroencephalography the specific regions of the brain that are pulsed by certain actions, thoughts, attitudes, feelings, and even words, phrases and sentences. Taking this into account, artificial intelligence programs can be developed to redirect people's behavior and attitude, to influence their life, work, and economic decisions. 3. Neurostimulation. Closely related to neuromodulation, neurostimulation would be responsible for stimulating the segregation of neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters are naturally secreted as a result of synaptic communication between neurons, facilitating the transmission of messages, information, and signals throughout the central nervous system of the human body. An intracorporeal network with carbon nanotubes and graphene nanosheets in neuronal tissue could increase or decrease the secretion of these neurotransmitters, decisively affecting signal transduction, emission, and reception. For example, false sensations of danger, fear, pain, etc., could be provoked without any justified cause. To give another example, the regulation of dopamine alone could cause neurodegenerative diseases, anxiety, depression, apathy, bipolar disorder, psychotic attacks, among other disorders and problems. An interested regulation of dopamine would affect the reward system of people, affecting desire, pleasure, and above all conditioning. This means that a subliminal conditioned learning could be achieved, so that undesired behaviors and attitudes could be channeled in people, bending, to a certain extent, the will and free will that characterizes a free human being. Dopamine could also create addiction, just like a drug, in such a way that very strong habits could be created, according to the interests of third parties, outside the will of the inoculated person. 4. Connected humanity. The human collective, inoculated with the presupposed content of the vaccines, would make it possible to exercise exhaustive control over human activity, health status, work performance, or academic performance, influence by currents of thought and subliminal communication strategies, facilitate the acceptance of measures and laws that are unpopular or negative for the interests of the population, bend the will or any resistance to perform certain tasks or functions, or undesired tasks, reduce energy consumption, reduce the use and consumption of essential resources, facilitate the forecasting of the demand for products, goods, and services. The possibilities of a connected humanity are inherent in the concept of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or transhuman techno-paradigm, whether at the political, economic, social, or personal level. 5. The individual as feedstock. An intracorporeal network would turn the individual into feedstock. This is an inexhaustible source of information, generating data to be recorded, evaluated and processed for social, economic, scientific, and political use. Perhaps, partly for this reason, inoculated individuals could receive a universal minimum income, in exchange for handing over the data they may generate in the course of their lives. However, becoming a source of information, subject to continuous monitoring, would make it possible to calculate or weight the value of each person, according to their capabilities, their capacity for thought, reasoning, analysis, behavior, loyalty to the system, and thus determine which people are more suitable, profitable, and beneficial to society. This coefficient, which would measure the value of a person, could be used to determine his success in society and in life, as well as to decide his destiny, an aspect that links to the following application, use, or rather consequence of the intracorporeal network. 6. Population reduction. According to the Neo-Malthusian thesis, the intracorporeal network would make it possible to know the value of each person and determine what part of the population should be eliminated, presupposing that there is an excess population that cannot be maintained and that reduces the resources available for the part of the population that is productive and of greater added value. This would mean the most absolute reification of the human being, denying all spirituality and freedom that are proper to people, by the mere fact of existing. By obtaining a cut-off figure, all those people who do not exceed the established threshold could be gradually eliminated, also by means of the intracorporeal network itself, as explained below. 7. Elimination. An intracorporeal network can not only operate in the neural environment, but also in the cardiovascular system and especially in the heart. If the right signals are received, an artificial alteration in the heart rhythm could be triggered, which would trigger arrhythmias and henceforth heart attacks. An electric shock to the brain tissue, at the right intensity and in the right location, could cause fainting, loss of balance and unconsciousness, with the attendant danger to the person. Therefore, based on the bidirectionality stated in the literature on intracorporeal networks, it is not unreasonable to think that signals could also be received that could trigger the disorders and conditions that lead to the elimination of the person. This ability to be able to eliminate a person who is either unprofitable in the New World Order, or who does not accept the approaches desired by the elites, or who is part of the dissidents or opposition, is extremely clean, leaves no traces of the crime, and is particularly effective in maintaining control and power over the population.